They were holding in the Mishnah of Beis Sif Dalet. We have to do the Mishnah Berurah on Sif Dalet. So Achli Behema. So Achli Behema, Rotzalomer, that means Darbash Roy Lachila Le Behema, something which can be used for an animal. Mashmah Gemara Lachilo Eno Emer Bishvilam, even though it's not necessarily designated to be used for a Behema, but since it could be used, that's enough. So the more we have this yisoid that ochel behema do not become tikkun kli, and the more it's, therefore, for example, you have very soft type of wood which animals could eat, it's not considered you don't have a problem making them into a kli. It's not considered a kli when you do it. Mishum tikkun kli mutar patilto the double roi lachila mukhanu lachol tzarech, and therefore now once the roi lachila, so they're not muksa. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch said, if a person would take lefikach. Person would take a straw, which is roi lachila for the behema, and give it a sharp point with a knife. Use it to give it a sharp point, and use it to as a toothpick. It's not going to say you made a kli, because since it's roi lachila, it remains with a shame oichel, and it doesn't get dinim a kli. So it's not called you made a kli on Shabbos. Whereas, as opposed to a splinter of wood, which an animal can't eat. So not only is it also to do a ma'isa tikkun of shaping it into a kli, but even just using it without shaping it as a kli, as a toothpick, is also. Yudalo, v'fikach, v'yesham v'davka k'gon zesha oysa v'menu kli t'bitchilo lo shayach tikkun kli. Okay, so this means you're taking something which is from scratch, you're taking this Dabar Oichel and you're making it into a Kli. That doesn't work. If you have a Kli already which exists and it needs to be fixed, and you use food as part of the, as an attachment, as a way to fix a already existing kli, so that's a different ball game. There is a kli already, so the oichel, even though it's roi lachila, once you use it as a tikkun for the kli, it's considered a tikkun kli. Over here, we're talking about taking an oichel and making it into a kli. So you say, since it's an oichel, it remains an oichel, not a kli. But if you have a kli already, which needs a tikkun, for example, kigoyin neck of the kli. So there's a hole in a kli, and when Loito Chatichas Lefes, he takes a piece of turnip, and he shapes it to the right size of the hole, and he puts it in. Shayach was that tikkun kli, that would be considered tikkun kli. It's a ran, and we're talking about this is a full fledged tikkun kli to the point of a chiyav chatos. Okay, so therefore, the Shulchan Aruch said, since by oichel there's no din of tikkun kli, so a person would take a knife and shape a toothpick out of a piece of straw which is edible as hay for the animal. But since it's an oichel behemo, it remains an oichel. Even when you shaped it into a kli, it's going to remain an oichel, and it's not considered a problem. Feel of a sakin using a knife, I feel humak but alamina, and he's cutting to a specific size, still it's considered an oichel. Vein bezem shum chashash yisra machlus machate kimen the dvar oichel. So now there's a melacha machate which is cutting something to a certain size. So again, that has to be because you made it into something. Over here, it remains a food, piece of food. A piece of food you chop in half, there's no yisra machate. I chop my food in half to a certain size. Um, So an interesting application of this, if there's no dinner mechatech on Dor HaOichel, is let's say I want to take food and make some type of display out of the food. So cutting the piece of food to a certain size, etc., would not be a problem mechatech. However, there's a chayadim which seems to say there is an iser of ksiva, and there's a kisser shulchan aruch which seems to say there might be an iser of bona. Right. So even though there's no din of tikkun kli, if you use multiple pieces together to make a shape or a form, either it's like kosev or like bona. Fine. Everybody agrees, though, if you made it, that it can't be used as an oichel anymore, so that this halacha doesn't apply anymore. The whole idea of this halacha is, since it remains an oichel, it still can be used as an oichel, so it doesn't get a din of tikkun kli. The shem oichel is a much stronger status, so it doesn't become a kli, it remains an oichel, so you didn't do anything. A person, you're thinking something, you'll see a very fancy presentation. Person will take a watermelon, especially like a round one, scoop out all of the flesh, the red flesh from inside, and cut a basket out of it. Or you have the one bottom, now it's just like a bottom of a basket, and then make it like a handle from the top piece, and put the balls back inside. So that shaping the basket would be a problem, because it's not an oichel anymore. The rind part is not edible. So that situation is called you're making a kli. But if it's a case of a splinter, which is not edible, even to an animal, so not only is shaping it to a toothpick is a problem, but even taking it, just simply taking it with intent to use it as a toothpick is a problem. Also, so, with even without shaping, you're just picking it up as a problem of muksa. And shaping it to a certain shape to be able to use it as a toothpick is considered like tikkun kli. Now, this time I'm doing it by hand. That's what you're saying is a Durabanon, is because you're doing it in a way which is not normal. If you would use a knife to shape it into the size to be able to use it as a toothpick, or to use it, this piece of wood, as a way to put into the keyhole and turn open the door. That's making a kli. So even though it's for one-time usage, you're going to use it as a toothpick and throw it out afterwards, but you made it into that kli, that's going to be a problem. No, the pashas would go into tikkun kli, which would be some isur rabbeinu, machab patish. So even just to pick it up is a problem. So the problem is it's muksa. You're not shaping anything. You're just taking it as is. So he said, yeah, but it's not an oichel, it's a piece of wood. So a piece of wood is tamitzim or muksa. So maybe kavod abrias overrides muksa in certain cases. So walking around with this food stuck in between his teeth is embarrassing, so there's a kavod abrias element. It becomes visible, and that's embarrassing. So maybe we should argue that kavod abrias should override the mukhs. He could have prepared, he knows he has a meal, we're expecting to eat meals, so prepare toothpicks. So the case where Kavod HaBriyos is doicha, for example, in regards to certain cases we metaltal avonim for the purpose of basic kisei, so it's not always possible to arrange it beforehand. You know, they're putting the stones together to make a place to sit, etc. It's depending where he is. But part of the preparation for the meal includes making the toothpick. If I'm a guest and I couldn't prepare, there's no way, I can't carry from place A to place B, and I had no way to get to place B before Shabbos to prepare a toothpick. So the fact that my host did not prepare a toothpick doesn't preclude me from Kavod HaBriyos using the muksa to remove the piece of wood as a toothpick. Mutal the tatal case and lots of machine remain the dabaracher. So because of Kavod HaBriyos, we're going to allow him to tell the muksa and use the piece of wood, the splinter, to remove the meat. But if people, what's there, the remains of the food which are stuck in his teeth are not so significant, even he finds it embarrassing, but most people do not consider it embarrassing, that's not called Kavod HaBriyos. Yeah. Hey. So a person can take wood which has a nice smell, and the purpose of picking it up is in order to smell it. And therefore, they come out of the status of being muksa, because before Shabbos, he expects to use them for the purpose of not of eating them, because they're not edible, but they are usable for purpose of smell. Or they would use them to, like a fan, use that to fan the chayla, so you have this nice little breeze plus a little nice smell. So a person is not maksadas from that usage. He's allowed to rub it in order to cause it to give off a smell. Echad kashim, echad rachim. Whether it's something which is a soft type of item or whether it's a hard type of item. So what's the chiddush over here? Let's see the mishabura. Tesvah but latatul lo mexidat daite me eloh etzem me kara. Because we say it's wood which has this type of usage, so a person is not maksadas. Wood which its main function is the hasaka as firewood, or to build the kli with. He's maksadas. Wood which is soft enough or something which is actually animals eat, we said before, you're not maksadas because you can use it for animals as a food. Wood which you can't feed to the animal, but you could use it for smell, so now you're not maksadas from it. This halacha of fanning somebody is mutter not only for a chayla, even for a bori it's mutter. Or for the milson halacha, it was more common than they did it for that purpose. You're allowed to rub it, but usually we say melila is like a person rubbing it between his palms, or rubbing it between his fingers. So zot mishabur, the het over here of melila is not only his mutta, but certainly recut my omelila. So you're allowed to even cut a piece off, which then causes it to have a better smell, a fresh cut. And that's also mutter. You rub it between your fingers in order to cause it to allow the smell to come out. The process releases the smell. The purpose of the ktima is that but where you cut it, it's a fresh cut, which would, so that freshness allows the smell to come out. Okay. This heter, however, requires that you break it by hand. So if I'm using a knife, so I'm cutting it to a certain shape, etc., even though it's not my intent, I'm not intending to make it into a kli, but the mice, that's how you would do the process of shaping it for a kli. Okay, also lead to hadas besaken. So a person has an hadas branch, so he can't cut it with a knife. Because he might come to shape it or cut it off to shape it to a size to use it as a toothpick. So that's the sort of rice. So we answered for the purpose of doing it l'hariach, also you might do it l'shem kli. And if he'll be yadin and mukter liktum b'kashim l'hariach, avalaksa b'shinam osir l'kliyam. And even though doing it by hand is not going to be the raisa, so it's still a semi rabbanon if he does it for keli purposes. It's only mutter if he does it for laharia purposes. Echad kashim. So we said this is mutter even if it's a hard one, whether it's a hard one, whether it's a soft one. So what's the chiddush of the hard ones? So even though they're not roi l'machal behema, which we said before, in sefkat and dalet, that soft ones are roi for machal behema, so there's no tikkun kli involved in them. Hard ones, which are not roi l'machal behema, there is tikkun kli. If you look at the kotmam, l'fashach behem, kol ma sheyirtza, ben shepashach eitz gadol l'kotem. Pashach means to like strip the bark off of it. So the purpose being, again, to get the smell. Whether it's a large piece, a small piece, it's soft, it's hard, it doesn't make a difference. So that's Mishabura. But Dafka called Becholzesh, who rak lehoisif reyach al yedei malila vaktima. The goal over here is just to release some of the fresh smell, which is there. So that's mutter. I will also lehoilid reyach, but this heter does not allow you to, as it were, inject a smell into something else. A person wants to rub these spices against a garment to give the garment the smell, or you know, something of that sort. That's also, so that's the issue. The Rabbanon the more says a marlid reyach. Rashi said that the lomdus of Merle Reach is an Isidur Bonon. Rashi in Beya, because it's Doima to, as if you're being buried something, you're creating some new, you're giving the bagged a new dimension of function. Now, before it was just a bag, and now it's a bag which has a nice smell. You're adding like another layer or type of function to it. Since you're being merled, some type of new element in the garment is also. Let's say it already has a smell, and you want to add somewhere. So the modern version of this, a person would want to take some type of an air freshener, something which has a nice smell, and it spray it on a garment. You couldn't do that because you're being marlid reyach, you're putting a reyach into the garment. They had an example where there was, they would take an esrog and they'd rub it against on the garment, so it would add, you know, thereby infusing the smell of the esrog into the garment. To be moisif reyach, which means it already has a smell, it's starting to weaken, you want to strengthen it. So that's mechloikas. Shulchan Aruch Rav holds it's mutter. Mishmur holds it passing that it's aser. Shulchan Aruch Rav holds that case as mutter. This case is very significant the lumdus of it is very significant. Lamaisa beyond the issue of reyach, because the Beis Yitzchak, when he was asked what the issue of electricity is, in a case where there's no fire involved in it, it's not like a bulb or something like that, but just simply turning on an electric appliance. So if the action the appliance is doing is a malacha, so that's called you're doing a malacha by turning on an appliance. So if you turn on a mixer which thereby does lisha, so there's flour and there's water in the bowl, and he turns on the mixer and the mixer kneads it together, so he's considered as if he did lush. So that's we understand. But let's say that the person wants to turn on a fan on Shabbos. So there's no light involved in it. There's no glowing filament there. There's no metal which is glowing. So there's no malacha of making a fire. A, the action that the fan is doing is moving air from place A to place B. There's no iser in moving air from place A to place B. There's no malacha involved in that. So you wouldn't have a problem based on that. So what's the iser? So someone to argue that electricity has a din of Aish, just simply the not even if it's making anything glowing, just simply the idea of electricity itself, it's fire. That's difficult to really see that's correct. So the Beis Yitzchok, who was one of the Gdolei Poskim in Poland in the end of the 19th century, he said the problem is Merlid Kayach. If Chazal Aser means Merlid Reyach, which means adding a new dimension to the garment by adding a smell to it, means you're taking something which basically is functional and adding, as it were, more function by giving it now the ability to also have a nice smell is Aser. So taking something which is sitting there and not been doing too much and giving ability to do something goes into this of Merlid Reyach. It's adding a new dimension of function to it. So he learned that the Aser of Merlid Reyach is the source for the Aser of using electricity in these type of. The Chazanich, which argues that the Malach is Boina, and it holds it into the Raisa, is basically saying the same idea. He holds that the change from being dysfunctional to functional by adding electricity is so significant as if you did Boina. So he holds it's basically the same argument. Just he holds that it's. Now people say over the Chazanich.
That's a full-fledged Malach as opposed to.
The Rabbanon, right? Whereas according to the Beis Yitzchok, using electricity in the situation would be the Rabbanon. And that's basically the Mahalach of the Poskim still used to this day. That's the Mahalach of the Poskim, it's like the Beis Yitzchok. There is an argument like that. I'll give you the example where it plays out, is opening a refrigerator. So opening a refrigerator, you say, well, you know, the refrigerator right now is off, the warm air comes in, it causes the thermostat to recognize that it's warming and turns the refrigerator on. So Shlomo Zalman argues that's not called adding a new element because it's on already and it cycles back and forth and that's how it functions. You don't want your refrigerator going all the time. That would be a broken refrigerator, right? The refrigerator is supposed to cycle. So that's not called adding something new by making it cycle. That's just how it functions. So that's where Shlomo Zalman argues that type of argument. But the other end of the spectrum is there's a chayodam, which Mishnah Berurah quoted before in the Shin Ches. If you have a watch, which is the watch or the grandfather clock, which has stopped pulling the weights, is Malach of the Rice, according to him. Because adding the function, which is not there, even though that's how it functions, but since right now it's dysfunctional, so it's not the same thing as a door. A door is functional. Its function is to be on and off. But a fan which doesn't blow is not a functioning fan. So a watch which doesn't keep time is not a functioning watch. So by winding this, either on your watch, by winding the spring, the coil inside, or by pulling the weights, and winding the coil, the spring inside of the grandfather clock, Chayyadim holds as a malach of the Raisa. So Chazanich holds that Chayyadim applies to every time you turn on electricity.
So how far do you push this notion of changing function? If I have a Sefer Torah sitting out in Kodesh, it's just sitting there. I take it out on Shabbos to Lane, that's changing function.
That's more like, that would be along the lines of what Zeb is asking. That's like the door. My door has, right now it's, you know, it's functioning.
The door is opening out.
But
can you say from
Torah
out, that's different.
No, I'm saying you didn't really add function to it. The function is there. I don't have to change the Sefer Torah to add the function to it. Over here, I have to add something to make it functional. There's some element missing, which by adding it, I make it more functional than it was before. You know, it's hard to say there's something missing in that situation to the item. Not a Sefer Torah. Any Sefer I take off my shelf, or any item I take out of I take my coat out of my out of the closet and put it on. Well, it's not that the coat wasn't functional beforehand. I wasn't using it. That's hishtamshus. Right? But you know, the more along the lines, the question is, you know, is there an issue of adding a hood onto my coat so now it has an extra function of having a hood? That'd be more the more analogous type of a thing. You're adding a new function which wasn't there.
So I have another question. And when you talked about the mixer.
Which is mutter, by the way.
What?
Which is mutter, rather.
So the way you explained the mixer involved Risha. So it sounds, I would think that if the bowl is empty, it's okay to turn it on.
Well, you have this other issue of you added a koyach there. So I mean, why are you turning it on when the thing is, what's your intent? I don't know. But the point I was saying is, when you deal with electricity on Shabbos, there's three different answers. There's if it's a case where you're causing metal to glow, so the answer is you're making a fire. If the kli that you're turning on is doing a malacha, so you're considered as if you did a malacha. If neither of the two is true, we have to come out to a new argument, which is either boina or merlid kayach type of a svara. But there's a Ramban in the last parak in Shabbos, which says a chiddush, and the Chazon Ish, you know, builds on it, a different Chazon Ish, that if taking a koyach which exists in the Bria and directing it and controlling it to use it to do that in it will do a malacha, it's called I did a malacha. So the Ramban says if a person takes a shor and it's mechavim l'tlameha into the telem and makes a plow, he's chayv skila for koresh, because he's using the koyach of the pora to do koresh. Even he's not doing the koresh at all, the animal's doing the koresh. He's just basically make sure that the animal is going to pull the plow into the thing, etc. So that's more than malacha mechamer. That's what the Ramban says. That, you know, mechamer is when it's a lav, but it's not a chiyuv skila. Mechamer means the animal's doing the malacha, and you're directing it to do a malacha. So the Ramban says, so where do you draw the line? And that's, you have to work out where you draw the line. When is it called that the animal's doing it, and you're just directing it? You know, that's, or where it's called that you are, as it were, taking possession of the koyach of the animal's strength to do with an action. It's called, therefore, we discussed this once. A person goes up the top of a roof, takes a decent sized item, has a gentleman down below he really doesn't like, lets go of the item, and the item falls and kills the person. The guy says, gravity did it, not me. Is he a retzeiach or not? He's a retzeiach. I didn't do it. Gravity did it. I mean, this thing is not strong enough to kill somebody on its own, but the momentum of the gravity gave it such force that it killed somebody. So, using a koyach which exists in the Bria is called your maisa. It's a chiddush. But so the Ramban takes that beyond just what we call the forces of nature to the animal. So the Chazon Ish says, so now I take a person takes a combine and drives the combine on Shabbos. So he's over Kreitzer, and he's over, what?
Not here.
You know, he's all these different malachas that, you know, that the combine is doing. It's called him. I didn't do it. I'm just driving a machine. The machine's doing all of it. That's called you using this koyach of the machine to do it. So that's why he said that the person would turn on the mixer. He's doing leisha. That was the point I was getting at. Where you draw the line of all these things gets very frustrating.
The Malacha Zora is using wind.
Yetzara is complicated. Let's, you know, because the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara says, because by areas other than Shabbos, wind is not chayav. The Gemara says, by Shabbos, especially the Malachas, by Shabbos, also Torah. By the other hand, using the Kalech of Eish, person lights a fire and the fire goes somewhere, and the Gemara says he's considered a Ratzeach. This is the Kim Levi Rabban that doesn't have to pay for the Nezik because he's chayav Misa. So by Eish, we say that it's considered his Misa, but by, so why by Zerah is it only because Malach Shabbos is a Torah? That's why it gets. You can spend the whole month discussing this issue. The whole day. Yeah. Okay.
Got back with. In the middle of summer, noon in the summer, a hot day, sunshine. You take an egg and put it on the sidewalk. That's okay, right? That's not what you're saying.
Bishul Bechama is Mutter Mina Raisa. And Bishul Bechama is even Mutter Mina Rabbanan. Bishul Betodos Chama is also Mina Rabbanan. So something which is heated by the sun is called Todos Chama. So if you'd be cooking it not on the sidewalk because the heated sidewalk, but let's say you just put it out into the sun, that's called Bishul Bechama, and that'd be Mutter. Right? That's not the Melacha. The Melacha Mavashal is specifically with Eish. There's an Issa Rabbanan of Bishul Betodos Chama because it looks like Todos Or.
Put it on the sidewalk before it heats up, and then it heats up.
Well, if the point is saying if the sidewalk is what's cooking it, that's called Tolos Chama. If what's cooking it is the heat of the sun, that's Mutter. It's a marshal. So Rav Avadya is a tshuva by a Dud Shemesh. So he says the Dud Shemesh is called not called Bishul Bechama. It's called Bishul Betolos Chama because since there are different mirrors and different things which enhance and reflect the heat of the sun into it to make it more powerful than just the simple heat of the sun cooking it. That's not called chama, that's called toldos chama.
Toldos chama is when something else heats up from the sun. Those things are not so heating up, or I don't know exactly how they...
I think the way it works is there's a certain amount of heat which it absorbs, and then it transfers the heat into the water. So it's not like we have water sitting in the sun. If you just have water sitting in the sun, you know, wait a very, very long time until your water is hot, right? The black darkness of the water heater of the shemesh absorbs the heat of the sun and then transfers that into the water. That's Toldos Chama.
So using a large magnifying glass, to heat up your egg.
So I'm not sure how all of the rules of that. I'm not sure. So we went far afield from putting a smell into your bagot. Okay. Zak Mishtabura. Ba'agav darinan b'shulchan orach l'inyan chituch uktima b'inyan ochle behema v'atzei b'samim. Na'atach nama b'zeh din malach is machatech b'shar deborim. So we have to discuss machatech somewhere. Shulchan Orach does not discuss machatech anywhere in the Shulchan Orach directly. It gets a little bit here, a little bit there. So you might as well talk about it now and give you the basic rules of machatech. Okay. Mechatech or, so the classic case of was that they were taking the hides which they used in the Mishkan. So a person would be cutting a piece of leather. A koldover shot a mechatech, anything a person's cutting, umakwad alamidoso, and he's cutting it to size. It means he's careful to cut it to a specific size. Beneitz or metechos or filo noitz or shaloif, whether you're cutting wood, metal, or if even you're cutting a feather to a certain size, kibin shemakvet almidos orka berochboy, chutz bekabana is chayiv. So since there's you have a specific either width or length that you're being makvet on, that's called mechatech. Abachutz derech hefset, person just ripping it apart, cutting it up, or below kabana almidos, or he doesn't care about the size, al kemisasek or kemisachek. Potter. Okay. So the Chayyadim takes this thought and says, you know, it comes out when Chazal asked, based on a pasuk, Chazal asked doing business on Shabbos, so they use that as a source for answering. No, not that pasuk, it's a different pasuk. pasuk in the Chemya, which talks about they shouldn't do business on Shabbos. So there's no way of doing business on Shabbos. You're doing business. What are you doing? You're transferring money. Money's mukhs. So there's no way of the rice is involved. But the very good idea that it's also shapamim shiach alav the dechiyav chatos. Because theoretically, you could be selling something and a person will cut it to size. And then you'd be involved in a malacha deraisa. So, therefore, just staying away from the whole thing helps us to stay away from this potential issue.
What does it? Is a customer over a
machshel? Is a customer what? Being lifting
the
sitting machshel? Would we ever lift near the Sitta Mikshel? Maybe. It might be the Raisa. In other words, theoretically the merchant can cut it without the customer being there. So anything which I can do without the machshil is not called that he's the machshil, because yeah, I can do it myself. The Mora says the classic case of a person passes a cup of wine to a nazir, so he's ever lifted the sitta mikshel. The Mora says only talking a case of the nazir could not get the cup of wine on his own. So therefore, the one who passes him the wine is creating the mikshel. But if the wine was available anyway, he's just like making it more convenient. That's not the malacha. That's not the issur of lifnei iver. So theoretically, the guy can cut it himself without the customer. But maybe items which are designated for sale, I wouldn't cut unless I have a customer there. So then we could argue that there is lifnever in that case. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Beis ein melechas mechatek shach ba'ochlin k'mashik ksav d'leil b'siv katan yud beis. It doesn't apply to food. So you can cut your food to a certain size. It's not a problem. Gimel. Ein melechas mechatek hu dafke b'kli afil b'yad. Is mechatek, does it require that you do it with a kli, or even if you tear it by hands? So it depends. So something which normally you would cut it with the scissors or something of that sort. And chayiv kim b'kli. So then if you don't do it with the kli, it's considered doing it with a shinui. So it's not the raisa. But something which you normally would tear by hand, chayiv gam kein afilu b'yad. So then the isra mechatech applies even by hand. The common application of this is tearing toilet paper. So tearing toilet paper on the perforation, you're tearing it to a certain size. You don't usually use the scissors to do it. You tear it by hand. So there are those who assume that tearing toilet paper on the perforation will be malacha d'oraisa, mechatek, because you're cutting to a certain size. I think Rosh Hashanah Zalman, I call correctly, says you're not really mak, but it's more convenience. You know, a person would say, you know what, I know my toilet system, you know, and if it puts too many, if anything more than like 7 inches long, it's a problem. So he's being mapped on a certain size. Over here, the company puts perforations over there, you're tearing into the perforations because it's convenient, not because you're not really mapped on it. So maybe it's not a derisa. Pasha would be definitely be also mirabana. It's like it's me'ain cutting it to a certain size. It could be it's the raisa.
Is it if a person were in a situation for covered abrios, they should do it with his elbow or something?
She'd do it with a shinui, right? Theoretically, doing it with the scissors might be a shinui. Right, in that case. We start with this, the one who yesh b'chol gavni, k'mosh ha'ksav n'bir olocha, ayin sham. Okay, according to case in Misak and Lata B'shinim, going back to this case we had before, a person takes a splinter of wood and he cuts it to a certain size with a knife in order to be able to use it as a toothpick. So it's according to Rosh, we said before it's called tikkun kli. You're making it into a kli. You made it. You've now created a functional toothpick. So you took a piece of wood and made it into a toothpick. The Rambam says the problem is mechatech. You're cutting it to a certain size because you're making a certain size for a toothpick. You can't use a big block of wood. You need a certain size to be able to use it for a toothpick. But according to Rambam, could be you have both Isser, you have a tikkun kli, and you also would have mechatech as well. Okay, let's hold it over here. Okay.
Really, the Rambam